Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the House of Ancestry Tribal Talk. I am Chief Langley, and tonight I'm here with the host of the Genona Show with the House of Ancestry, Paramount Chief Hal Hillary. This is our first show for 2017. We have a lot of goodies for you guys, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the message for tonight. Chief Hal, are you there?
Yes, I am, Chief. And I would like to thank our radio listeners for supporting the Governor Nation of North Carolina, another outstanding radio show. But first, let us pay homage to those whose strong shoulders we stand. We give you praise, O ancestors, from which the light of a new day descends. You are the foundation of our past, present, and future. We praise you. Though we do not know all of your names, we live with your memories, the dreams, accomplishments, and the ancestral force of your crown. O ancestors, give us the enlightenment to unravel the mysteries of the universe, the secrets of our roots. O ancestors, give us the knowledge we need to travel through our existence in this lifetime. You are the blended colors of light that lights the bridge into a new age. You are the seed, the plant, and the flower. You are the link between heaven and earth, the link to unity and oneness. Help us to stand strong as a testimony in this time of ignorance of our culture. Let the ancestral torch of truth be lit and handed back to us. We praise you, O ancestors, ancestors who died fighting to keep the torch of ancestral truth alive among our people. We praise you, our ancestors, for having the courage to leave a legacy in order that we could learn. Out of truth comes our culture, our heritage. Out of truth comes tradition. Out of tradition comes pride. Out of pride comes unity. Out of unity comes strength. Out of strength comes dignity. And dignity, there is a proper way to live, to lead, and to be an example, so that one day we can be looked upon by our descendants and honored and respected as we do you today. All praise and love and honor to you, dear ancestors. Help us to live in such a way that we will achieve an elevation, that we may embrace you when we meet again. Ashe. But first, before we get started, I thought I'd make mention of what's in the news that's been going around here in the spirit community. I saw the trailer for the new reality show entitled Spirits of Atlanta. Now, let me be the first to say that this pilot show is trash television and is a mockery of our African traditional spiritual system. So let us spread the word in our respective community that this reality show is entertainment only, a form of social programming. I am Paramount Chief Harold Hillary, the voice of the Gullah Geechee Corridor. Tonight, we have a very special guest on tonight. He is Padrino Sabu of Ile Olofi Aye, Royal House of Wisdom Temple in Rincon, Puerto Rico. He's my godfather and cousin. Welcome, Padrino Sabu. Baba, would you please introduce yourself to our radio listening audience?
What number is he, Hal?
He's at 4165.
Okay, here he comes live now. There you go.
I say, Baba.
So glad to have you.
May Rumela and may the Lua, the Nkisi, and the ancestors bless you and bless all the people that are listening. Ashe Olofin, Olorun Olodumare.
Ashe. Baba, will you please introduce yourself to our radio listening audience?
Okay. My spiritual name is Baba Sabu. I live in the island of Puerto Rico. And I was raised in the tradition, the spiritual tradition of Sansi Wadun, also with Kimbisa and Tumbaitiana, which is a fusion of Wadun with Palo. Besides that, after that, I made Ocha, Oshun Oruangayu, and then I went to Manifa in Nigeria 27 years ago.
Outstanding. Outstanding, Baba. Well, we're going to get started, Baba.
Okay.
And first, I'd like to ask you this question for those who may not be too familiar with the African spirituality, the Yoruba system or the Congo systems. My question is, who and what is God in the Yoruba tradition?
Well, God is, we call God Olofin. Okay. Olofin is the main deity that created everything that is seen and unseen. Okay. So we say Ashe Olofin, Ashe Oloru, Ashe Olodumare. Olofin means God, Mother, Father, God. Okay? Oloru is the spirit of the sun that gives us life, gives us everything. Without the sun, we don't have anything. Olodumare is nature. Nature is the female aspect of what we know as, you know, planet Earth, you know. We call it Ileaye, okay? So, with the fusion of Olofin, Olorun, Olodumare, it's like we say Mother, Father, God, Spirit of Creation, Spirit that created everything, okay? Olorun, the spirit, again, of the sun, and nature. But see, Olofin is even more than that. Olofin, just imagine that we are a small planet. Olofin created everything that we know as, like, planet Earth, right? But also Olofin has created constellations, the galaxies, you know. So in reality, we're very small next to this huge creator, okay? So that's, you know, in our tradition, in the Yoruba tradition here in the diaspora, but also in Nigeria, okay, God is the center of everything. Okay, Olofin is God. Without Olofin, without the creation, without him, we don't have anything. So he just wants us to, as humans, to try to reach the light. Okay? So basically, that's what we, you know, we should strive to do.
Okay.
You know, reach the light. Try to get to that light. Okay. For evolution.
Okay. Now, Baba. Now, who is God in the Tumba Haitiano Palo Kimbisa tradition?
Okay. In Palo Kimbisa, we call God with the Haitian term of Papa Bondié, which means the good God, okay? The good God. So to us, in the Palo Haitiano Haitian tomb, Tumba Haitiana, with the fusion of Kimbisa, Palo Kimbisa, in the Congo tradition, the name God is Nsambe, okay? But mainly in our house, because it's influenced with Vodun, we call him Papa Bondié, the great, the good God. To us, it's a spirit of it's like a black Christ in essence. So we know him as Papa Bondié.
Okay. Can you explain to us what is Palo Mayambe in Kimbisa? Can you explain the system?
Okay. Mayombe is the main and the Congo Bantu tradition that comes from the Republic of El Congo, Mayombe. Okay. This tradition comes from the Yombe region of Zaire. And it comes with the name of Mayombe or Yombe. But when it gets to Cuba, in Cuba, they call it Mayombe, meaning master, okay? But it also means head. It means chief, but it also means spiritual force, okay? So Mayombe is the mother tradition of the other versions of Palo, which is, the second one would be Briyumba Congo. Briyumba is a fusion of Mayombe with spiritual aspects, you know, spirituality and Orisha. Okay. But today is not practice with that fusion. Today is practice a different way. It's more, they tend to work it more towards the Congo and Bantu way, but more so dealing with one spirit that they make a pact with. Kimbisa is the newest lineage of branch of Palu, which was founded in the late 1800s by a Haitian that was raised in Cuba, born and raised in Cuba, but by Haitian parents. His name was Andres Petit. In Spanish, the term is Andres Petit, Cristo de los Dolores, Christ of the Pains, because he was like a master, you know. Yeah. And Andres Petit founded the branch of Palo Quimbisa, and he fused, Palo Quimbisa is a fusion of Palo Mayombe, Haitian Vodun, yeah, Orisha, Catholicism, spiritualism, Masonry, and some aspects of Islam. Even the term, when we say in Palo, Salam Aleikum, you know, yeah, a lot of people think that we say it because we have a Islamic influence, like in Mayombe and stuff like that. The one that started saluting that way was Andres Petit. He brought that into the system. So that is more with Quimbisa, because prior to that, in Mayombe, the salutation was Fate Kun Fate. Fate Kun Fate means bone with bone, body with body, you know? And it was a way of saluting, you know, with the crossing the hands and clashing, you know, the bone with the other bone, you know? It was a way of salutation, but the word that would be Fate Kun Fate. After that, the Quimbisa and the Petit implemented and refused then the Salam Aleikum. Till today, all paleros, Mayombe, Briumba, you know, from different branches, yeah, till today, that's how they salute, Salam Aleikum.
Okay. Now, how do they differ? Do they differ at all?
Yes. Mayombe is more raw, more Bantu, more African. And, you know, Mayombe tends not to have too many mixes. Again, they use aspects of spirituality, and they use aspects of Orisha, but not because they put things of Orisha within the pot. No, they use aspects of Orisha in the way of the system of identifying the deities. The deities in Mayombe are called Mpungu, and in Palo they're called Mpungu. And each Mpungu has a counterpart in Orisha. Like, for example, Ilegua in Mayombe, Ilegua is Lucero. Okay? Ogun is Sarabanda. So that's how they implemented that. But again, it's more raw. Briyumba is a system that tends to, is also Mayombe, but then Briyumba crosses more aspects of Orisha, you know. More aspects of Orisha in a way that, again, not implementing, you know, tools or like what we use in Orisha. No, not a lot of it, but some aspects of it, you know. And Quimbisa is the most that has different versions of different systems within the system. So Quimbisa is more eclectic, more, you know, and it's also younger, because Mayombe is very, very old system. You know, Mayombe is the original system of Palo. You know, Briyumba comes out of Mayombe, and from Mayombe and Briyumba comes out Kimbisa. So it's different. Again, in Mayombe, the Tata deals only with one spirit, that he goes to the cemetery and makes a pact with that spirit and puts that spirit in a cauldron, in a caldero, in a pot. We call the pot Kindembo. Okay? In Briyumba, they do the same thing, but work more with spirits of the woods. Okay? In Kimbisa, is the whole thing changes, because in Kimbisa, we tend to work more with the ancestral realm and the spiritual guides and aspects of Orisha, and again, and Catholicism within Kimbisa, and we fuse it and work each, I would say, at the end of each version of it, we will work it, you know, in its different way of dealing with different people. As the person needs something that has to do with that spiritual quadrant, then we'll work with that, you know.
Okay.
Again, Kimbisa is more fused and more crossed than the other two.
Okay. Now, my next question, Baba, is why is Palo Mayombe and Kimbisa especially important to African Americans and Africans of the diaspora in general?
How important they are?
Yes.
To me, the way that I see it and the way that my elders taught me, you know?
Yes.
Overall, today, in the Republic of the Congo, in Angola, and in different places, they still practice a form of Mayombe called Kimpesi. Okay? To me, the importance with the African-American and us, you know, I'm a black Puerto Rican myself, so I consider everybody of color my brother or my sister.
Yes.
To me, that is our original religion.
Yes. Okay?
Because before Orisha, before the Yoruba, even though the Yoruba were enslaved also, the first ones that came to the Americas and the first ones that were enslaved and taken from Africa and landed in America and in the New World, like in, you know, in the Antillas and the Antilles, you know, Caribbean, Santo Domingo, Puerto Rico, and all that, they were Bantu people, and the religion was Mayombe. The tradition was Mayombe. The way of communicating with the ancestors was Mayombe. Okay? Again, that they changed it and adopted it more the Cuban way, that's one thing. But overall, that is our religion. Overall, that is our tradition, really.
Oh.
And to me, it's a tradition that the slave owners didn't want our people to put it together, because it's a force to reckon with.
Yeah.
You see?
That power.
Very powerful.
Now, is Palo Mayombe and Kimbisa, is it a powerful tradition, and is it a complete system? Is
yes.
it a complete system?
Yes. Today, again, like I said before, in Bantu land today, you know, in the Republic of the Congo, and a version of Palo is practiced in Brazil. It's a whole system where they initiate you and crown you and work with your, they crown the Mpungo in your head like Orisha, like, you know, like the system of Orisha, and this is how they do it in Brazil. In Cuba, they tend to do more of the warrior society aspect of it, which is, you know, the getting scratched, you know, and getting the marks and everything, you know, and working with the quadra and all that, you know. So it's a very powerful system, and it's a full system. But, it's, again, it's worked differently. In Africa, it's worked more so towards the healing aspect and ancestral aspect of it. In Cuba, it's worked with the same, you know, warrior creed, like, you know, more sorcery, more into working with the spirit, you know. And to me, overall, to me, Mayombe, Briyumba, and Kimbisa are very, very, very complete systems. Again, but, you know, it depends how you get taught, you know. We call it buena crianza, buen lumbo, which means good upbringing in Palo. If you get a good upbringing, then you could be a master, which is a tata infumbo, infumbe, or tata infumo, you know, or tata inkisi, that can teach and lead other people and help other people.
Okay, Baba. How does one spiritually evolve and elevate themselves spiritually through Palo Mayombe and Kimbisa?
Well, in Palo Mayombe, there's a different system of working for elevation. Again, you go through the teachings, you know, of your tata. You know, your tata starts teaching you how to work with nature, how to talk to nature and the movements of nature, you know, the herbs, you know, the different elements and everything, you know. And this is how you reach a certain status, you know, to you become a Tata Butako, which means an elder in Mayombe, you know. And this is how they teach you how to be in contact and get in contact with your ancestors, you know. The thing here is that Palo has a bad rapport because they've always given it this dark, you know, Hollywood thing of, you know, Mayombe is something bad, you know.
Yeah.
Or any religion that comes out of Africa is bad, you know. It's not so. It's a very, very strong religion, yes, very traditional religion, but it deals with nature. It deals with the herbs. It deals with, you know, how you can enlighten yourself through the worshiping of your ancestors, you know, and you learn how to defend yourself from negative forces and stuff, you know. So, in essence, the way that I see it, once you master the teachings of Mayombe or Kimbisa or Briyumba, you're a force to reckon with. Spiritually.
Okay, because I know here in the diaspora, when one speaks of Palo, it's always mentioned as like that's the left-hand word. You're not going to do anything with Palo unless it's the left-hand word. And
right.
I just want you to make that Palo is not just a left-hand word. I know you work both hands with Palo.
In Palo, basically, the Palo, the word Palo means hard stick, dead stick. So that's Palo, okay? In Congo, we say Nkunia, you know? Hiki, which means stick. But let me tell you something about this. The ancestors that brought forth what we know today as Mayombe, okay? It was a way of them worshiping their ancestors as they moved in different lands in Africa and dwelling with nature, you know.
Yes.
But it was also a way of doing the rites of passage. It has a warrior creed. The warriors, if you were to become a warrior, you got scratched, you got cut, you know. Different marks and everything in your body to seal your body from negative forces that Malongo is the jungle, will bring, because within the jungle there's good and bad forces, you know. But that has come with nature. So there isn't such a thing as good Mayombe or bad Mayombe. To me, the person that controls that is the Tata. If the Tata is a very serious and very person that has learned it the right way, you know, if he has a good heart, he'll work it the right way, and he'll work it for good. But if he has a bad heart and he was taught, you know, in a distorted way, that's what he's going to do. He's going to do bad. So there isn't such a thing as right or left hand in Mayombe or in any Palo branch. That depends on the person that works it, okay?
Okay, you made it so crystal clear. My next question to you, Baba, is can anyone initiate into the Palo Kumbisa system?
Well, anybody can be initiated into Palo Kumbisa. Okay, anybody. When I say anybody, I mean we all have Nkisi. We're all born with Nkisi. So some of us will develop it and some won't. Some of us will hear the calling of our ancestors and answer and try to be in touch or try to link ourselves with them. And some will listen, hear, know that that they're calling us and just turn away and go different and into a different religion or tradition or whatever. But anybody could be initiated into Kumbisa. Anybody can be initiated into Palo. Okay,
Baba. Can you please give us a history and basic information on the formulation of the Tumba Haitiano Palo Kumbisa?
Okay. The Rama, meaning branch,
yes.
Or Gajo,
yes.
Meaning branch, okay, from the way that it was founded, Tumba Haitiana was founded. There was two brothers that fled from Haiti to Cuba after the revolution, okay, and they fled to Cuba, and in Cuba, they were one of them was Papa Dudley du Bois. Dudley du Bois and his brother, Bandolier du Bois, okay,
yes.
They were initiated into Briyumba Congo, the Briyumba Congo house of Palo. Okay, they learned the system from the Cubans, right? And after they learned the system from the Cubans, they founded their own branch of Palo, their own house of Palo, called, and they christened it and called it Tumba Haitiana, where they fused Vodun, okay?
Yes.
Vodun into the system of Briyumba Congo. Okay, now that's the first house that is born. Briyumba Congo, Tumba Francesa, Haitian tomb, a French tomb. When we use the word French, we don't use the word French because it comes from France. No, we use the word French because it's Creole. So Creole is influenced by the language, the French language. So this is a way of making it different from the other systems, okay? And also the Haitians that brought it forth, you know, they were Creole, you know, they were Haitians and Creole, that was their language. So that's a way of identifying Haitian tomb, calling it Tumba Francesa. Okay. That's the first branch that was founded. Briyumba Congo, Tumba Francesa. Now, Papa Dudley du Bois and Bandolier du Bois had two other brothers. Okay, these two other brothers were initiated in Kumbisa by Andres Petit. They were initiated by a tata called, used to call him Nicolás Gallito el Haitiano, okay? And Nicolás Gallito el Haitiano initiated Fifi Dubois and Danley Dubois, and also initiated a woman, a mambo. Her name was Jean Candeliu. The three of them fused into Kimbisa Vodun. So you see? So
yeah.
one house is Briumba Congo, Tumba Francesa.
Yes.
The second house is Kimbisa, Tumba Haitiana, Kiyumba Francesa. And when we say Tumba Haitiana, meaning Haitian tomb, following the same, you know, the same, from the same, the main house, which was Briumba Congo. But then when we say Kiyumba Francesa, meaning that the secret that was put in the pot was Vodun, that comes from Vodun. So in our house, because that's my house, that's the house I come from, in our house, we work more Vodun than Palo, but the Vodun that we work it with the laws, bylaws of Palo.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
Okay. Now, Padrino, now you have completed several books on Palo and one on Palo Kimbisa Haitiano, which is in Spanish and English.
Yes,
and another one haven't been translated into English or published yet. And has many rare, unique firmers that are unknown to most people. Now, would you like to share some information about the many written works that we're working on, that you're working on for the future?
Well, right now, well, I have, like you said, the first book that I wrote it, like 10 years ago or more, I think, was in English. I wrote it in English. Because I wanted to explain to people and show people, my brothers and my sisters, the system that I was brought up in, the tradition that I was brought up in. Because I was brought up in Sansi Tumba Haitiana, Palo Kimbisa Tumba Haitiana. I was brought up in that because that's my family tradition. Okay? Meaning that after that, I wanted to write a book, but I wrote it in Spanish. I wrote the second version in Spanish, okay?
Yeah.
And in reality, you know, I wrote it in Spanish, but I didn't release it like the first book, okay?
Okay.
So now I'm working on a newer version. I'm working on a version in English again, fusing both books and a third version of, like a follow-up version of it, but more in English, because I really truly want to teach, and I want to I want the system to continue like a family system, you know. Like I want to continue, and I want to share it with my people, with my brothers and sisters. You know, I really want to do that because it's a complete system where you you empower yourself, and you get empowered by your spiritual partners and your spiritual guides. And we teach a very, very strong way of dealing with negativity and you know, things that are, you know, dark, you know? So I want to write this new version in a way that it could be, you know, exposed to everybody, you know. Basically, that's what I want to do.
You're doing a noble job as being that spiritual leader behind a well-tested and powerful spiritual tradition. And at this time, we would like to take a few calls from our radio listening audience. Chief Langley, can you get us a caller through?
We're going to give each caller 4 minutes.
Okay.
With 709-3094.
Hello.
Hello, and thank you for calling.
Hello, Alafia, my good brothers.
Alafia.
I had a question. I wanted to know, as it relates to us here in the African-Americans in the diaspora, I wanted to kind of know if you could shed light on exactly why we still use European images to represent our African spirits when, you know, like we don't have to pretty much mask, you know, our traditions now due to slavery.
Okay. That question I asked my great-grandmother who was teaching me the tradition. I asked her and I told her, I said, Mama, why do we have to use these saints that are white to identify our deities or our spirits? She said to me, we have to do it because it's a way of us hiding or camouflaging, you know, and not letting the white man know what we're doing. So he thinks we're doing his religion when under the table we're doing ours, but using his tools, okay? So in essence, right now at this time, it's not necessary to syncretize, to continue syncretizing spiritual deities or spiritual African spirits, you know, with Catholic saints. But it's still a tool where people can identify the deity. Once the person identifies the deity and knows what the deity is, that person, as he learns more, as you learn more, you would, you know, remove that saint, or, well, remove it in a way that you already identified the force and you know how to work it, so you don't need it anymore. So it would be up to you. It would be up to you in the privacy of your house to set up a shrine strictly in African and spiritual way without using that. Okay, so it's used in the Caribbean. They use it to identify, again, to identify that force, you know. And this is the way I see it. It's a bad custom, made a custom, you know, here, made a way, you know. And I agree with you in the sense that it should not be that way, but they still use it, you know.
I say, we do pay.
God bless you.
Can we take another call, Chief Langley?
Next caller, 966-4360. Going on to the next. 769-4-1469. 917-769-1469. Have a question? Going to the next one. 347-766.
6918. Hello.
Hello. Hello. And thank you for calling. Do you have a question for our special guest?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I was told more about my deity, and how do you said you had to set up a shrine to know more about it.
Okay, but who is your deity?
I was told my deity is Oshun.
Okay. We're talking now about Orisha.
Orisha, okay. Correct. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that has to do with Orisha, Oshun. As
yes.
a matter of fact, that's my head. I have Oshun made. Okay.
Really?
So yes, I'm an Oshun priest. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. So Oshun, are you initiated in any form of Orisha?
No, nothing.
Okay. They just got a reading, and they told you in a reading that your Orisha, your head Orisha is Oshun.
Yes. And a Baba told me.
A Babalawo. Okay. This is what you do. Okay. It is not custom. It is not custom in Orisha for you to work with Orisha if you're not initiated. Okay. But you have to set up a shrine. You can set up a shrine for Oshun. Okay. And I have another question for you. Do you have any shrines in your house?
No.
Hello?
Yes, no.
No?
No.
Okay, then but in essence, what is your question? Because I'm lost, I don't understand.
maybe I'm not sounding lost. Stating it correctly, I just wanted to know more about how to learn more about Oshun.
Okay, the thing here is that there's information on Oshun that you can read in books and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But my advice to you would be to try to talk to this Babalawo that read you. Okay.
Okay.
And ask him how you could be in more in tune with your Orisha. He will tell you, okay, and he will give you the tools for you to start worshiping and start working with your Orisha. But let me give you this because you called, you know, I want to give you this advice. Try to set up in a corner of your house, you know. Set up a table, and in this table, okay,
mm-hmm.
put a basin with clear water, all right?
Okay.
Inside the basin, put crystal quartz, different crystals,
mm-hmm.
okay? And get a, get like an African statue of Oshun or
okay.
a picture of Oshun, and put it right behind the crystal basin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Put flowers there. Light up a yellow candle, you know. Get things that you normally see that are beautiful, like, you know, you could get butterflies, flowers, you know,
yes.
things that you know that are things that Oshun represents, or that represents the energy of Oshun, which is beauty. Okay?
Right.
You could put a yellow cloth in the table also. So that's one way
okay.
of you starting to deal and trying to get in touch with your Orisha. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. But the thing is, the Baba, he's in Africa. I went through someone, and he doesn't speak English. He speaks African.
Okay. Where are you located at?
In New York.
Oh, you're in New York. So go, there's, are you Hispanic or Black American?
Black American.
Okay. So try to go and try to see a Babalawo there. Because there's a lot of Babalawos
okay.
in New York, you know.
Okay.
There's a lot of Babalawos in New York. I used to live there. So, you know,
okay.
I was, you know, I know a lot. And there's a lot of my godchildren that I've been initiated into Ifa that can help you, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, Ache. Thank you.
Ache, God bless you.
God bless you.
Ache.
Chief, can we take another call?
Next call is 951-355-8946.
Hello, do you have a question for our special guest today?
I'm going to move on to 843.
843-783-3342. Hello, do you have a question for our special guest tonight?
I'm going to move on. 828-316-8379.
Thank you very much. I'm here.
Hello, and thank you for calling tonight. Have a question for Padrino Sabu on this evening?
Assalamu alaikum, Baba Tata Sabu. How are you?
I'm fine, I'm fine. Salam alaikum, en Bote Congo, en Diambo Congo, Muerto Soberano. Bacheche Kwama, Allende Boko.
I see. Good. Baba. I'm for a long time initiated in Paloma Yombe. And
okay.
I lost my tata in 1996. And I've been with him from 1988 to 1996. Very close,
okay.
As a matter of fact, my great aunt. Yeah, you know, she is the one who told me I would meet this man, you know, this white man.
Okay.
And form a friendship, and that I would be doing the same thing that she does. She was a spiritualist, a healer, you know.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask you, I heard you, I was listening, you know, attentively, and I heard you mention one of the people that founded the Haitian voodoo, Mayombe, that was a woman. So you know that there was a lot of there is still a lot of controversy about women in Palo Mayombe and in Palo itself, whichever branch, you know. And how do you feel? This is my question. You know, what is your training, and how do you feel about women that work as yaya and initiate and scratch and make prenders?
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good one. Now, are you
yes.
a yaya? You're a yaya.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ah, yaya in Kisimalongo, in Kisikongo. Okay, let me explain this to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's many branches that have come out of Mayombe, and there's one branch of Mayombe called Congo Koraima. Okay, Congo Koraima was founded by a woman.
Oh, hey, you tell me. Wow, I need to know more, but you know, I'll find out again. But you know, wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
Okay. Congo Koraima was founded by a woman. Her name was, they used to call her in Cuba, Marufina. Marufina. Okay.
Marufina.
They mentioned her a lot in when they Mojumba in Palo Mayombe and in Briyumba and everything. She was a very, very strong yaya. And she founded the system, and christened it Congo Koraima. Congo Koraima Mayaluna. Congo Koraima Mayaluna.
Mayaluna.
She initiated many, many tatas in her time. Those tatas have initiated many, many people. So if you hear the house, the Munanso Congo Koraima, you know that it was founded by a woman. Okay? Now, this is the situation. A woman that has a lot of years of training and knows how to simbrar and knows how to make an enganga, a prenda, okay, or fundamento. That woman should not be a woman that still menstruates, okay?
Yes, I agree.
Now, it is not because a woman is dirty or anything like that. No. It's not because of that. It's because of the respect that women should have towards the Nkisi and the Mbumu. And because those forces of nature, the energy can disrupt and can hurt the woman when she's in her cycle. Okay? So, as a rule in Mayombe and in Briyumba and in Kimisa, when a woman is in her cycle and she's young and she's in her cycle, she should not be near the Ngangas. She can have an Nganga, she can have a Lucero, she can have her Sieterayo, her Sarawanda, whatever. But she should not, those days, she should stay away, you know. And after she passes her days and everything, then she could, you know, salute her Nganga and work with her Nganga. Now, to the point and the question that you asked, yes, a woman, an older woman, an elder, can scratch and can give a pot and make an Nganga.
Thank you so much for
give
making
birth.
That clear.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so
but
much.
But again,
you know,
again, only if she knows how to do it.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much, and I agree with everything. And I just came back from Togo, West Africa, and you know they practice voodoo there. And I took, you know, of course, I took my impaka and all these things that I used, you know, to work while I was over there. And
impaka Congo, impaka Cheche.
You know, and when I got there and started doing the work, they're like, wow, that's similar to what we do. They even have their impakas and everything. They mark their signals, you know, their sigil, you know, they mark everything. They do everything.
The FIMBA,
Yes, the FIMAs. Yeah, the same, you know.
Yes.
So they were like,
their
eyes were wide open seeing me doing, you know, those, you know, who are in the guru, they see me doing, you know, and stuff. So they were like, wow, they were so happy.
Yes. Because a lot of people do not know, and a lot of people will debate this, what I'm going to say, okay? But voodoo from Togo, borderline Ghana, and the homeland, voodoo in itself, is the mother of what we understand and know as Palu.
I agree with you. I did some research on it. I'm telling you, it's something. I'm pleased. Yes, I'm pleased.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Ashe, salam alaikum.
Ashe, walaikum sala.
Wacheche kwama.
Wacheche kwama. My father's lineage is Mayombe, Briyumba, Basaka, Nkenyubi, Titi Congo. You know? So, you know, and you know, they call it the Senteya Ndoki, the black cat lineage. So, you know, so people feel, you know, that it's negative, but it's not negative. You know, all the people I've helped all over the years, they, you know, they can attest to that. That negative at all, you know.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so
Mayombe,
much.
Mayombe, Briyumba, Congo, Bititi, Congo. It's very beautiful, Omunanso and Rama. I salute
you,
and I'm honored to meet you.
Thank you. Ashe.
And I send you my blessings.
Thank you so much.
Ashe, ashe. Bache,
thank you so much.
And
blessings to you, too.
Ashe.
Ashe.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Chief Lenny, can we take another call before we continue?
Yeah.
I got a question.
Oh, go right ahead.
What happens, I come from a Native American background, so but what I want to know, because I hear people talk a lot about crossing systems. Isn't that dangerous?
I don't understand your question.
To take two different spiritual systems and try to combine them to work spirituality or magic.
Okay. What do you mean by to take two systems and use them to make magic? You see, the way that you're saying it and the way that you, what you're implying is that those two forces cannot be used. Okay, the elders that invented the wheel, okay, used it, infused it out of necessity. So, when you go to a foreign land and you bring your tradition to that foreign land, in order for you to learn from them, you learn their system, but then you cannot leave your system behind to learn another one. So, out of necessity, my elders, okay, which were Haitians, fused Vodou with Kimbisa out of necessity. But we use the word crossed, but in essence, we do not cross forces. Let me clarify that for you. Each force is worked in its own land or in its own space and time. If a person comes to me with the necessity of dealing strictly Palo, I work the Palo aspect of my branch. If a person comes to me needing the Vodou aspect of it, I work the Vodou aspect of it. You see? So we use the word crossed because it's a fusion of both systems, but we do not work it crossed the way that you think it is. See what I'm saying?
Okay. I understand.
Are you clear?
I am very clear.
Yes, and another thing, and you're right by saying that it's very dangerous to do it that way. It's very dangerous. So just imagine when you fuse them together, okay, it is even more dangerous, okay? So you have to know how to separate one from the other and use it as the person that you're working with needs it, okay?
Mister.
I say.
Thank you, sir.
Baba Fadrina.
Yes.
We're back to our discussion. We'll take a few more calls in a minute. But I would like to ask you, why do you feel some are so against a religious tradition of syncretism? You know, was the syncretism that took place in Africa within the Yoruba tradition the will of God, or was it just survival?
Well, syncretism in Nigeria or in African, the syncretism is born out of Africa. Syncretism, you know, syncretizing. You mean the African deities with the Catholic saints, right?
Yes.
Okay. You see, the reality of it is that it was used as a tool. Okay, it was used as a tool to camouflage and to, you know, hide the tradition for the tradition to survive. So I say it was a necessity. I say now, today, you don't have to. You have the option of continuing syncretism or not, you know, so it's a question of the individual.
Okay, but there's a new syncretism. That new syncretism is when you have the imam, the Muslim imam, who now fuses Islam into Ifa, and the same thing with Christianity now. That I'm even seeing Odu mentioning Jesus. So that is a new syncretism that's, you know, just fairly recent here. And it's my thing to ask you, you know, what do you think about the new syncretism?
To me?
Yes.
the way that I see it, in Ifa, the aspects of who Jesus Christ is and all of that, it's been written in the Odus for centuries, you know, for years and years and years. Okay. But not in the way that they're doing it today. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And the situation with Islam is the same way. Ifa has influence of Islamic, you know, ethics and codes and stuff like that. But this comes with the people that at an early time in Africa, you know, missionaries and people like that, you know, to infiltrate themselves into the system and learn it, you know. They learned it and then they fused it with their own way, you know, with their own thing. But in reality, the way that I see it now, I see it as an intrusion, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I really don't agree with it, you know.
Okay.
But it's there, you know. For example, there's certain ceremonies that in Cuba, in Ifa, they do that are not Yoruba. They're Islamic influence.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Now, do you believe there's such a thing as foreign mixing? I think you just touched on that a minute ago. Foreign mixing. You know, mixing our tradition, they use syncretism with both the traditional African religion versus African-based concepts that has been reworked by other people. Like, for example, as the African stands in America, when they say foreign mixing, that means that mixing a thing, the African-American be ready to write Iseshe. Would they be ready to write Odus that mention the lives of Malcolm X, Harriet Tubman, and many of our other national ancestors?
No.
You know, I understand coming from the continent and properly propagating Ifa, you know, there's a chasm here with the African-American, their story is here. So is anyone going to write those old dudes concerning the slavery of the African Americans into Odu Ifa? Since you have Muslims and you have Christians taking it to a whole nother level, even on the continent.
No.
Well, the way that's new to me. I haven't seen it, and I haven't, you know, till now I hear, you know, that you're mentioning it, you know. But it's in Ifa. See, Ifa is a very ancient system of divination, okay? So, you know, when you put other aspects and into Ifa that don't belong there, that's not Ifa, you see? That's not Ifa, you know. So it shouldn't be that way, you know. I'm totally against it.
Okay. Chief, can we take a call right now?
917-586-8009. Salam alaikum, Padrino Sabu, it's Obey. Assalamu alaikum, Chief Hillary. I'm just listening in to my padrino and to the callers, and just want to send my blessings and my greetings to my padrino. First time calling in, first time listening to my brother, and it won't be my last. I'm thoroughly enjoying the program.
Beautiful. Papa. God bless you.
Sí, bless
you.
Gracias.
Así.
Salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
336-957-4613.
Yes, good evening, Chief Hillary. This is Jerry.
How's it going, Jerry?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm terrific this evening. So glad to hear your voice.
Yes, I was just calling in to let you guys know I was here listening, and I'm enjoying what I'm hearing. I'm a first-time caller, and I apologize for not recognizing the other gentleman. I don't know how to say his name, so this is new for me. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know this is a first-time caller. I'm enjoying what I'm hearing, and it won't be my last time, and hope to learn.
I said, beautiful, beautiful. God bless you. Papa Mundia bless you. Olofin bless you. Orumila bless you.
Okay.
And continue the work. Continue.
Okay, thank you. Could you translate what you just said?
I'm saying the good God, the black God, you know. Bless you.
Okay.
Olofin, the creator, bless you. Orumila, the prophet of the divination in the Yoruba tradition, bless you. A lot of blessings to you, my brother.
Okay, thank you. My wife and I have just been gifted us new names. I am of the Indo-African people.
Okay.
And my new name is Shakir Ahmad Samir.
Nice.
And
good.
I wanted to introduce that to you while I was here on the line. Just wanted to speak to you about that and say I really appreciate you guys being here, giving out a lot of history, a lot of information that I don't know, and other people that's listening will get the opportunity to learn and to know, because there's much more to know than what we have.
Well, let me tell you something. You come from the Hindu African way, right? There's a town in India called Orisha. Okay?
Okay.
Yes. So, and there's a town in India that is of African descendant people, African people. Okay? And they do a form of religion based on, you know, African, that looks like Orisha, and it looks also like Palo. So, you know,
okay.
You're just picking up, you know, your ancestors brought you to a point where now you're embracing them and accepting them, and they are rejoicing because now they can identify you as their son.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
All right. And those people, would they be called the city people?
Yes, city, yeah.
City. Okay. All right. That's what I thought you
meant. I say.
Yes. Okay. That's what I thought. I have been looking at some YouTube videos on the city people there, and I have studied them just a little bit, and I've looked at where some of them were talking about wanting to go back to Africa, but the Indo people wanted them to stay where they were, so I think they chose to stay there. And they were talking about going maybe back to Mali, some of the places of where they came from.
Yes, yes. Well, you're making your, by what you did, you know, changing your name and everything, and embracing tradition, you're going back, you're linking back to them. Your ancestors are rejoicing. Your ancestors are very happy for the move that you have made, you know. You're going to see a lot of changes, you know. Set up your shrine and start, you know, letting them know that you're going to be their voice, that you're going to be their messenger in this time. Because in this time now, we need to link with our ancestors so we can survive in this cement jungle, my brother.
Yes. Thank you, my brother.
Okay.
I appreciate it. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chief, for taking my call.
Oh, thank you. Jerry.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Chief.
Okay. I'm so glad you called in. How's the family?
The family's doing just fine. My wife's over in the kitchen. I forgot to tell him that she has also changing her name and in the process of getting all this done at some point after we find exactly where we need to be. Her name is June Odire. I'm sorry. Give me just a second. Odire. She forgot it.
You forgot it already. Yeah. It's gonna take some practice.
She'll get it. Yeah, she'll okay. get it. Yeah, she's got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Adaris, was it Amir? Samir? Yeah, Samir is the last part.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, if I hadn't asked, would have told you.
All right.
Outstanding.
Yes.
Well, thank you for calling in, Jerry.
All right. Thank you, Chief. You guys have a good night. Oh, right here. Right. Hold on.
Listen.
I think I have it right here in front of me. Here, June. I'm going to give you the privilege. Shakir Ahmad Samir is mine. And right here on the back, I have the paper. Ta-ta-ta-ta. Odira. I'm sorry, but I don't see it right now. Maybe it's just not time for me to tell you.
It's okay.
That's okay. It's all okay. Right. It takes practice, Jerry.
Okay. Okay. All right. But thank you for taking
blessings.
Right
oh,
here it is. Here, here it is. I found it. Odira
okay.
Ade Samir.
Okay. Yeah.
I was saying I like the flow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
All right. Thank you guys again.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, Madrina,
951-355-8946. That's all of them here.
That's all of them? Okay. Okay, back to our discussion. Padrina Sabu, now what
yes.
do you feel the benefits are of any Babalawo learning both the traditional Ifa system of modern-day Nigeria and the present-day Lukumi Ifa system of Afro-Cuba or Yoruba-Cuba culture?
Okay. I know both. I know both. I had my experience with that was I'm Hispanic. I'm Puerto Rican, Puerto Ricano, you know, I'm Puerto Rican. And I went to Nigeria and made Ifa in Nigeria. When I came back to New York, nobody wanted to teach me Ifa. You know, I needed training. I had already training in Nigeria, but when I came back, nobody wanted to continue my training. Okay, so I went to the Cubans, you know. And they didn't want to teach me. So I went to the Africans, you know, and they also closed the door on me, you know. So I'm like, okay. So I started learning and started asking Ifa, Orumila. And Ifa said to me, just wait. Somebody will come and teach you. And I met this Cuban Babalao. His name is Francisco Morales. Juan Alequento, that's his Odu. And he said to me, I will teach you our form of Ifa. I will do this in 3 years. But once you learn, you're on your own. I said, okay. And he thought that I was going to, you know, leave the ship, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He made it very hard for me. It was very hard for me to learn, but I learned it. And I was on my own, you know? After that,
yeah.
And then everybody wanted to work with me, the Africans, the Cubans, everybody wanted to work. So the way that I see it is this. To me, the Lukumi system of Ifa is a very complete system. I honor it, I respect it and everything, but it limits you, and it's very, very strict in its way of working with spirituality. For example, a Cuban Babalao cannot get possessed with spirits. A Cuban Babalao can work with Egun, but through the Odus of Ifa. A Cuban Babalao should not be or go to Misa, spiritual Misas. A spiritual Misa in Nigeria is called Iku Joko, sitting down with the spirits and with the ancestors and, you know, people getting possessed and bringing messages. So it's not the same format, but it's more or less the same. It has the same meaning, Ikujoko or Misa. So in the Cuban system, they don't, you know, they don't allow that. A lot of the Cuban babalawos are initiated into Palo. They have their Nganga and everything, but they do not promote Palo. Okay. Once they are babalawos, they don't tend to work with that anymore. They work with other forces, with other orishas within Ifa, like Osain, Olokun, the secret of Olokun, Oro, you know, Orooko, you know, and different other forces, Abita, you know, stuff like that, deities like that. I have chosen to work more the Yoruba system because it's simpler, okay? It's more ancient, and I feel more at home with it because... Yeah. It's a system that doesn't hold my spirituality. That didn't, you know, like when I was in Nigeria, my Odu is Oturache. And my godfather said to me, you cannot leave an old friend for a new one. So whatever you're doing spiritually, you have to continue doing it. You see, so I as a Babalawo, I'm an Oluwo. I'm a Oluwo, and I'm also a chief in the Egungun society. I have Egungun. I can work with everything that's spiritual, okay?
Yes.
So this is why I work my Ifa with a spiritual format, you see. If somebody comes to me with the need of Egun, so I read them with the Egun kauris. If the person needs something that I see that needs to be dealt with Ifa, then I read them with Ifa.
Yes.
See, I have that flexibility. I can do it that way. But not all Babalawos do it, you know. Not all Babalawos believe in that. And what I'm seeing also is that a lot of traditional Babalawos are getting the custom of the Cuban Babalawos and are saying the same thing. When in Nigeria, it's not so. Okay?
Well, see. Okay, we're going to take a question here. For those ones who are just listening, because we have a lot of listeners from the House of Ancestry, and they may not be too caught up on the subject matter that we have on tonight, but they're very interested. I've been getting multiple inbox messages. However, can you explain to us who and what is an ancestor?
Oh, that's a good question. An ancestor is there's two immediate ancestors. For example, the ancestors are the ones that were left in Africa, okay, by our ancestors that came as slaves to the Americas. So we have them. Those ancestors are Egungun, okay? The ones, the immediate ancestors, like our grandmother, great-grandmother, those ancestors are called Egun, okay? So that's an ancestor. An ancestor is a family member that has died prior, many, many years prior to you. That's an ancestor, okay? And within our family lineage, you see. So we have ancestors in heaven called Egbe, and we have ancestors in Africa called Egungun, and then we have our immediate ancestors called Egun. That's an ancestor.
Can you explain to our radio listener what qualifies an ancestor? Can anybody in your family who died be called an ancestor? Is there any prereq with it?
Well, if an uncle of yours dies, or cousin of yours dies, or brother of yours dies, okay, they are spirits that have transitioned. In order for you to be an ancestor, okay, Each individual should have at least 7 years that they have passed away. That makes them an ancestor.
Okay.
Now, what are the, Baba? What are the benefits of acknowledging our ancestors?
The benefits of not acknowledging them is they have given us, they have left for us their wisdom. Okay, the ones in Africa have left for us their wisdom of nature, of being in tune with nature and being in tune with God. So the benefits is, you know, the benefits has no limits, you know. They also teach us through dreams, you know, and reveal to us different ways of how we should be living in this time, you know. So the benefits, again, it's unreal. You know, the benefits is like, whoa. Very, very, very high for us, you know.
What's the purpose of the 7-year delay?
The purpose is because the spirit is not, a lot of spirits stay earthbound, you know. And in the 7-year span of time, it gives the spirit to make the evolution from human, from bone to spirit, from spirit to an enlightened energy, an enlightened force that ascends into what we understand as heaven, you know, and then transitions again and makes the evolution either to come down and be reborn again or stay as an ancestor that overlooks for us, you know, and passes their knowledge and their wisdom to us.
Thank
okay,
you.
Petrino, can you share with us the steps to ancestral veneration? If for that person who may not know anything about ancestral veneration, they just found out when you defined what was an ancestor, can you please explain to the radio listening audience what exactly is ancestral veneration and how to get started?
All you have to do is take a little corner in your house, in the floor, you know, and you can put if you have, you know, a picture of an old family member, you know, a great-grandfather, you know, a great-great-great-grandfather, you know, you put it there, you put flowers to it, you put things that are allegorical, as, you know, as from Africa, like an African statue, you know, you put a stick. You know, the word also stick, when we say stick, why a stick, you know? That's the link we have with nature, because we are attached to nature. So the trees, the bushes, all of that, they're all related to us. They're our family also. They give us the sustent. They sustain us on this earth, so we're all connected. So we need to have symbols and attributes of family members that have passed away. And we just, you know, put them in that corner. And that's a way of us worshiping, you know. And when I use the word worship, I mean to honor them, to honor their memory, to let that spirit know wherever he is at, looking at us, that we have not forgotten him or her. Okay? So, you know, that's one way of starting.
Outstanding answer. I have a question here from, the question is, when your Tata dies, can one join another Manazo?
Okay. If they should join another house?
Yes.
That's the question?
Yes.
Okay. If the Tata dies and you still want to continue learning and practicing the tradition with other people, then you should join another Munanso. That other Munanso will adopt you as a child, you know, a member
of their munanzo. We call that in Palo, in Spanish, we call that coger sombra. Coger sombra means for you to be under the tree and be nurtured by the shadow of the tree, by the freshness and the wind of the tree. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, you know, if that person needs to continue and to learn and everything, it's not a problem that they could belong to another munanzo.
Okay. But some people who have been in these kind of circumstances have been told by other houses that cannot be, or that they cannot join another munanzo when a Tata dies. Now, listening to you, Baba, that is not etched in stone.
No, that's false.
Okay.
That's false. You can belong to one or two different houses, munanzos. You know, again, if the spirit, the Nganga, accepts you as a son in that house because your Tata died, it's not a problem. You know, again, we call it coger sombra. You know, which means to be under my tree. Now you're under my tree. Now you're under my protection. Now my Nganga have my spirits and my Nkisi have adopted you as a new son. Okay? Because we're a family.
Yes.
Palo is a family-oriented tradition. So it's false that you cannot join another a house if you thought to die. No, that's false.
Baba, it's been an absolute great evening. A great evening sitting there chatting with you. And also, I'm more than sure my radio listening audience has got chock full of information. You came here, you brought a great message, you share so much knowledge. And this is not going to be your only time coming to the Gullah Nation of North America show. You will be back. I'm going to have you back, Baba. When you release the book, I'll bring you back on the show or anything else that I find is going to be pertinent for the Gullah Nation and also for my good brothers, my godparent out in the Caribbean. And that's what we're doing here at the Gullah Nation, is we're reaching out more in the Caribbean to our Caribbean brothers and sisters. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for not letting me down
thank
be
you.
Here
thank
today.
You.
thank you. Now,
and
go right ahead, Baba.
Yes. You know, I send my blessings to everybody that is listening, you know. And again, you know, let's continue. Let's be their voice. Let's let them know that we haven't forgotten them, our ancestors. It's very important.
That's
why it's called the House of Ancestors.
Exactly. Now, Padrina Sabu, now would you like to share your contact information? So many people heard you tonight. That's their first time hearing you and may want to get in contact with you and somehow or share your contact information or services. Some of the ceremonies that the temple will have for them. Please share that information with our radio listening audience, please.
Okay, well, I am located in the island of Puerto Rico. I'm in Puerto Rico in a town called Rincón, okay? Our munanzo and Ile, it's called Ile Olofinaye, the house of God on earth. In the house of God, we teach spirituality. I teach you how to develop your spiritual quadrant. I teach you to be a medium, and I help you to develop your spiritual assets. I also initiate you in the Egun Shrine Keeper priesthood, which makes you a priest in a shrine, the keeper of the shrine of the ancestors. I also teach Osain. I also teach and initiate people into Orisha, Ifa, and Tumbaitiana Haitian tomb, you know, in Vodun. Our own form of Vodun called Francie Vodun, Tumba Francesa. So in our house, anything that you need, just reach out to us, you know. And, you know, I'm here. I'm here to give, I'm here to teach, and I'm here to show you the way. Okay? I'm going to give you my number. My number is here in Puerto Rico, 787-823-4165. Okay?
Outstanding, outstanding. For those of us who may have other questions, you may be able to reach out to Padrino Sabu on social media as well. He is Padrino Sabu, PADRINOSABU. Those people who are on social media, he is available there as well.
I say, come into the Royal House of Wisdom, the Royal House of Wisdom, and the wisdom of the elders of the inner court of heaven. Okay?
Outstanding. I'd like to thank my radio listening audience, and also thank again my Padrino Sabu, for coming here this evening to share
okay.
with us.
I would like for
everybody to be sure to tune in on next week, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of the Gullah Nation of North America show with myself, Paramount Chief Harold Hillary. I will present 7 long years of research on my 4th great-grandfather, Bilali Muhammad, an Islamic scholar in early colonial Georgia. In this show, I will erase all doubts and folklore on his life and humble beginnings in Timbo, Guinea. This will be a show you do not want to miss. Chief Blaney, would you have anything that you'd like to say tonight?
I want to thank him for coming, and please come again and do some spiritual watching over the House of Ancestry for us so we can continue.
I say.
Righteousness and remember those that came before us.
I say, we are their voice. We're the Ilari, their voice. And we are what they have left in this earth as messengers to show the way, to show the others the way. Okay. And getting back home. Okay?
Okay, we're going to end tonight with our ancestors. I love the ancestors and pray to my ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to end our show tonight as I normally do with our ancestors' prayer. We give you praise, O ancestors, from which the light of a new day descends. You are the foundation of our past, our present, and our future. We praise you, though we do not know all of your names. We live with your memories, the dreams, and the accomplishments of the ancestral force of your crown. O ancestors, give us the enlightenment to unravel the mysteries of the universe, the secrets of our roots. O ancestors, give us the knowledge we need to travel through our existence in this lifetime. You are the blended colors of light that lights the bridge into one new age. You are the seed, the plant, and the flower. You are the link between heaven and earth, the link to unity and oneness. Help us to stand strong as a testimony in this time of ignorance of our culture. Let the ancestral torch of truth be lit and handed back to us. We praise you, O ancestors who died fighting to keep the torch of ancestral truth alive among our people. We praise you, our ancestors, for having the courage to leave a legacy in order that we can learn. Out of truth comes our culture, our heritage. Out of truth comes tradition. Out of tradition comes pride. Out of pride comes unity. Out of unity comes strength. Out of strength comes dignity. In dignity, there is a proper way to live, to lead, and to be an example, so that one day we can be looked upon by our descendants and honored and respected as we do today.
all praises, love, and honor to our dear ancestors. Help us to live in such a way that we will achieve the elevation that we may embrace you when we meet again.
I say.
Thank everybody for joining us tonight. Until next time,
I say.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, brother.
I go. Odaro.
Ow!